I am your host, Elizabeth. I have a special and familiar guest with me here tonight. Kimberly Washington is back. She's going to help us out with another episode tonight. We're going to cover another super fucked up serial killer. Trigger warning, this one is really intense. This one is really graphic. This does involve children, so hang on or feel free to skip out on this episode because it's heavy and there's a lot there. I'm not going to go into as much detail as we have on other episodes because frankly it makes me want to spiral into fucking hell when I think about some of these things. But yeah, we're going to cover this case. Going to do a little commentary with Kim and I. I think I know this case pretty well. I'm not sure that Kim does, but we're going to check in with her and we will take it from there. Okay, so we are back. Elizabeth and Kimberly are back. We are live and on Zoom for the second time, trying this thing out, hoping for no technical difficulties this time. Am I right, Kim?
Yes, hopefully.
Yes. So tonight we are going to do another sort of reaction episode. I have not prefaced any of this info to Kim. I have not given her any real indication of what we might be talking about. But we are actually going to cover John Wayne Gacy. I'm sure this comes to no surprise to a lot of people listening. If you are any type of true crime fan, Kim, have you ever heard that name before?
I feel like I have, but I'm blanking on this story. But the name sounds familiar, definitely. I'm also not a true crime fan. Like, I get skeeved out easily by these.
I love that. So we're breaking you in.
I don't know why I keep coming back for more, but I guess I'm going to learn today, right?
I don't know why Kim keeps indulging me in her pain, but I am eternally grateful. This is one of those names that sort of goes up there. It's like John Wayne Gacy, Ed Kemper, Dennis Rader, the whole bit. Like this is like when you think of like the core, I hate to say that, but like the core serial killers from like the 70s or so, like his name is definitely one that pops up. And like his story and the crimes that he committed, and then just like his lifestyle and the way that he was arrested, like it's all just such like a holy shit moment. I want to preface the timeline. I don't want to go into the background without telling you a little bit about the crimes that he did, because I certainly don't want to set it up like I'm at any bit sympathetic towards this person. I do want to get into a little bit of his early life because I think it's so interesting when you really dissect some of these cases, when you see like from start to finish what the psychology was like. So let's give the gist. Long story short, John Wayne Gacy is responsible for over 33 sexual assaults and murders of young men and boys.
Whoa.
Like I said, trigger warning.
Not ready.
No.
Oh, okay.
Trigger warning. So we're talking sexual assault here. And like a lot of times when you read about him, like they call him a serial killer and all that stuff. But it's like, no, he was a rapist. He was a pedophile. Like those are things that also need to be addressed. Like it's not just right. Like it's not just serial killer, like rapist and pedophile. That point needs to be driven to.
Those are equally as violent crimes. Mm-hmm.
So let's start back in just a little bit of background here. John Wayne Gacy was born on March 17th, 1942. His parents, who were, and this is interesting, they were married and they stayed married, but there is, from his mom and from John Wayne Gacy himself, there are reports of tremendous abuse from his father, but also from his mom. His father was more physical abuse, that type of thing. Possibly some, there was some sexual abuse in his history too. And then the mom, there was like some serious emotional, psychological abuse happening there.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I say all that to say this, and this is not a catch-all statement, but this is one of those cases where you're going to see that the idea that abuse begets abuse. And that's not to say that every victim of sexual assault becomes an abuser. Absolutely not. No. But when you couple, you know, sexual assault and repeated sexual and psychological abuse as a child with someone who has a predisposition to, you know, either mental illness or criminal tendencies, it's like it's the perfect freaking storm. Yeah. And that seems to be the case with John Wayne Gacy. There's a lot of gnarly facts about his family dynamics growing up. There was one story that actually his mom told. They were all sitting at dinner. John, I don't even want to call him John. What should we call him? Gacy? Yeah, so Gacy, let's pretend he's like the oldest. I don't want to give him like a human name. Like, I don't want to humanize him. I don't want anyone to like identify.
Because John is like the most basic name.
Like all the Johns everywhere are quaking right now. All right, we'll just call him Gacy. All right, so. Okay. So at this point in time, so Gacy, I believe, was the oldest child. Okay. And at this point in time, he's about 4, and there's like a 2-year-old and then like a couple week old baby in the mix here. Oh. So okay. The family's sitting down to dinner, and this is the report by the mom. The dad just stood up in the middle of dinner, completely unprovoked, threw a pile of food in the mom's face, and then punched her square in the face.
Oh my God.
The mom runs out. She's bloody. The neighbors are calling the cops. It's this whole shebang and it's this turmoil. And the dad, after doing this, all he did was go into the bedroom or the closet, wherever, grabbed his handgun, left, was gone for a couple days. And then when he came back, everybody just sat down at dinner like nothing happened. Like, nobody talked about the fact that dad just, like, nobody talked about that? Okay. So, there's a lot to unpack there. But, you know, so if you think about, like, the instability and the turmoil that, you know, this person was raised in, again, it's sort of like that perfect storm type of situation. Despite all of that, of you know, all his growing up and home life and everything that he would go on to do, he was somehow able to lead like a relatively normal life. Like, this dude had chance after chance. Like, he was married not just once, I think it was twice. Like, he had good jobs. Like, at one point his father-in-law gave him shares in the business, and he was like the owner and operator of like a couple like KFC joints in a franchise at that point. Like, all of these dark things were sort of brewing behind the scenes. Any parent, this is going to make you spiral into hell when you think about this. One of his jobs or side gigs. Oof. So Gacy frequently dressed up as his alter ego for kids' birthday parties or to visit sick kids in the children's hospital. He would dress up as Pogo the clown.
No.
Sometimes Patches the clown. Like,
What in the Joker?
Like, I am the CEO of clown jokes, but this just makes me want to D-I-E. Like, and the clown gig comes into play within the crimes themselves. But, like, picture that. Like, no offense. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this shit with the clowns. Like, it's just...
We're not going.
But apparently, he would sometimes... And we'll get into a little bit more of this. But, like, apparently, sometimes during the crimes, he would, like, randomly shout out, like, I'm a registered clown. Honey, you need to be a registered sex offender. Like, what is a registered clown? Like, one of his first jobs after he moved away from home, he was working in a morgue. And apparently, this was when he first realized he was attracted to not just men, but young men.
Oh my God, that's creepy.
Yep.
A morgue, though, is how you figured that out?
Oh, no. You are going to D-I-E and spiral into the abyss. He later confessed that one night while working there alone, he broke into the coffin of a deceased teenage male. And after embracing and caressing the body, that is when he experienced a sense of, I don't even know what to call it, because I can't even imagine what sick perversion he was feeling. We are not endorsing necrophilia at all. Love is love, but we draw the line at necrophilia.
Can the love have a beating heart and be alive?
Right. Like I said, love is love and God is a woman, but we draw the line at necrophilia.
Yeah, just oof. Yeah.
So after this, sent like some shockwave to him. He was like, oh, wow, Dad was right. And instead of just, you know, coming to terms with himself and who he was, at this point he was like, all right, I got to ditch this job. He actually moved back home, and his dad was like, all right, yeah, fine. Like, you can come home, whatever. And this is like when he really started to thrive. He went back to high school. He you know, took management jobs with, you know, sales companies. He worked for popular shoe companies back in the day. He was a pretty successful salesman. He was like, you know, promoted a bunch of times. Like I mentioned, like, he was given chance after chance after chance. And, you know, even still, it was sort of like this insatiable need to do more, experience more, and have more power. And it was during these jobs that he started to experiment with, you know, different types of sexual experiences. And it's vague in some of the details, but I think a lot of it, you know, if we're calling it what it was probably coercion and even rape, to some degree in some of these earlier cases. They would have like these meetings with some of the higher ups in companies, and they would recruit people. And one of the ways they would recruit people is, you know, the usual way we recruit new employees. We had a porn party. I'm sorry, you had a what?
Yeah.
Yeah. They would have employees come over, new recruits. They would get them drunk and they would watch porn together.
Oof.
So then the axe went even further, and somehow defying the odds, and he ends up getting married. His father-in-law, like I mentioned, KFC, big to do back in the day. His father-in-law owned multiple KFC restaurants and asked Gacy if he would like to be a manager or owner or something like that. So he said, yeah. So him and his wife at the time relocated. Her name was Marilyn, by the way. So him and his wife Marilyn relocated. He took the job with the KFC situation. They actually moved into his in-laws' home for free. So again, handout after handout, and you're okay. He's running the KFCs, and you know, now he's in charge of employing everybody. We've got some serious issues here. So there are reports that Gacy was giving the teenage boys alcohol, getting them drunk in his club, quote unquote, in his basement. Like, are you, what? No.
Wow.
So he would invite the teenage male employees over to his house, get them drunk, and then he would make sexual advances.
That's so predatory.
Mm-hmm. And then if they would, you know, brush him off or try to fight him off, he'd be like, oh, this is just a joke, this is a test, I just wanted to see what kind of man you were, this and that. And it was just all this like toxic mind game psychological shit, you know, kind of the same type of stuff that his dad put him through. So you kind of see that type of rhetoric coming back in his own adult life. Unsurprising, but still makes me sick, he went on to become a father himself. He had a son and a daughter. So he had a son and a daughter. Again, you know, like, Family Guy. Nobody really knows what's going on behind the scenes here. But things were definitely brewing. You know, apparently during this time, like, even after having kids, there were issues with pornography, prostitution, drug use. He talked his wife into, you know, swinging with other couples, which, like, again, you do you, not my business, not for me. But, like, again, it just sort of speaks to that insatiable, you know, desire he always had for, like, something more. And I feel like that's a common theme with serial offenders or serial killers, is like they always get this feeling like, oh, the next one will you know, be the satisfier for me. But like it never is.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. And it's like everyone else is unknowingly just a pawn in this whole, you know, thing they're orchestrating within their own minds. Because there are so many, like I said, there's at least 33 known cases. I'm not going to dive into any specifics because I don't want to minimize the, you know, the experience or the fate of any one victim by only highlighting certain things of a few cases. Because for the most part, these were kids that we're talking about. And some of the, yeah. There, I think there's at least 6 bodies that were recovered that were never identified. So I'm just going to sort of touch on some of the overlying themes and the type of abuse and unfortunately torture that he would inflict. 1967, actually, he had sexually assaulted a child of a coworker or someone that he was in some sort of like club or league with or something. The kid was like, "F no, this isn't right," and he told his dad, who then did tell the police. But nothing really came of it. You know, the kid reported that he was abused and he was blackmailing this young kid. He was 15 at the time.
And it's a baby.
It's so effed up. And he would like pay them. He would say things like, "Oh, I'm doing this prestigious scientific research on homosexuality and I'll pay you to do this," like all these things on these impressionable young kids. But this one kid did recognize this ain't it. You know, I'm not down with the porn party. I'm not down with you trying to solicit oral sex from me. But again,
good for him,
right? And you would think that would maybe like raise some red flags, but nothing really came of that report, and he just sort of kept on doing the damn thing. I feel like I just need to backpedal for a second. Like, as if Pogo and Patches the Clown wasn't enough, I want to bring it back to KFC for a second. Don't get me wrong, I love me some KFC, and this is not going to change that for me. I haven't had it in a while, but, like, if I can think back, like, I love me some KFC. Don't get it twisted. Listen to this shit, though. Gacy would insist on being called Colonel during his encounters. What in the fried chicken was he fucking thinking? Can you imagine? Like, imagine, like, oh yeah, baby, call me Colonel. Like, that was your shtick? No. And he's not gonna ruin fried chicken for me, but like, really? Yeah, and he would like that was also one of his things, like, oh, I'll give you fried chicken. Like, honey, at that point in time, KFC fried chicken was probably like 30 cents a pop. Like, I'm good, love, enjoy. Like, he wasn't like
thriving with chicken,
right? Like, he wasn't working with much. There are some reports of early victims that there would be this like switch for Gacy, and they would be like hanging out and he'd be doing his Colonel shit, and then all of a sudden he would switch on the sexual harassment and the violence, and he would, you know, bind these kids, put them in handcuffs, lock them to a bed, torture them the whole bit. And then,
oh,
like,
oh my gosh,
this one kid said that he stabbed him or cut him with a knife, and all of a sudden it was like he switched, and he was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry, like, let me help you and it would switch back and forth within minutes. It went from like, "I'm torturing you," to "let me help you, I'm torturing you, let me help you." And it was like
such a mind game.
It was so effed up. So one of his first murders, and this is just like, oh my god, this is devastating. The report is that he picked up this kid, and I think this kid might have been a runaway, but he picked up this kid, and I don't know that any abuse at this point had happened, but he ended up killing this kid by stabbing him to death. And the story from Gacy himself came out that initially his claim was, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw the boy standing in my doorway with a knife. So I tried to fight him off and ended up stabbing him to death. No. When he sort of like came to or decided he was going to admit to these things, he admitted that that was not the case, and that the boy merely, upon assessment of the scene, when he sort of snapped out of the psychosis or whatever it was, there was, and this is so devastating, this like tugged my heart right out, there was on the stove bacon and eggs and two place settings made, and the kid only came in like haphazardly, like not just casually, had the knife at his hip, like waking him up for breakfast. And
wow.
Yeah. That killed me a little bit. That
wow, that's so sad.
I know, the little play settings like really just made me spiral. He would, you know, take these boys, kidnap them or you know, take them into his home, whatever the case may be, and beyond the sexual assault, he would torture them for hours and hours on end before eventually killing them, which is just so devastating to think about. I there's so much there. Like there are so many victims, and each of them are unique and special, and you know, really are deserving of so much time if we were going to get really involved in them. But I just, you know, let's just highlight a couple of things. You know, a couple of these people, the kids, I should say, a couple of these young boys that were his victims, you know, some of them were runaways. So it was tough to, you know,
no
match them.
Find them.
Yeah. Sometimes no one was looking for them and it was tough to match. And, you know, if they were runaways, sometimes, you know, these kids were coming from states away, and you know, at that point in time, you're not really connecting a missing person from one area to a body in another. So I think there's about six or so bodies that were recovered or murders that he admitted to that were never identified.
That's sad.
And interestingly enough, like even during this sexual assault and murder spree, he was divorced and then remarried. Like, so he didn't get married once, but like freaking twice. Like more than one woman was like, yep, this is the one for me. Like imagine somebody's first name rubs me the wrong way and I'm like, nah, this can't be the one. Like really? And like, I'm not victim blaming, but like, I'm like, really? Like these kind of people, like these people who might have these, you know, sociopath diagnoses, and you know, these people, they're good. They're charmers. They have this ability to live this double life. And back to my, you know, age old saying, you really never truly know somebody, at all. I hesitate to go back to the torturing, but let's just, I'll go through a little bit. Okay, so like I said, we had some handcuffing, some binding, the sexual assault, the stabbing, the torturing with things like that. There's evidence that he would burn his victims with cigars. He would set his victims up in positions that would, you know, sort of mimic like riding a horse, and he would make them be on all fours. He would sit on their back and do like a makeshift rein and like torture them and sexually assault them with various objects. Like sodomy doesn't even begin to cover what was happening here.
Wow.
He would also bind them in order to immobilize them before engaging in the acts of torture. There was definitely reports of partially drowning them in the bathtub before repeatedly reviving them. So you have this, again, it's that theme of, I'm going to torture you, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to save you. And it's that, like, you're not just having that physical assault, but that psychological assault of, like, when is this going to be over? And I mean, it sounds like actual fucking hell for these young boys before he eventually killed them.
Wow, yeah, definitely. It's the mind games in combination with physical torture. Like, I feel like those are always the sickest and, like, most gruesome serial killers out there, and the ones that also do the mind games.
The torturing.
It sucks.
And then there was issues, like, back to the panty snatching when he was a kid. There were reports, and this is super graphic, but, like, aerodigestive disorders and things like that, and the anatomy of the airway is literally my specialty, and this sent me to fucking hell and back. Some of his victims died by asphyxiation, and they were found to have underwear stuffed into their throats.
Wow.
That's
so painful.
Again, these are kids. It doesn't make it okay for anyone, but, like, these are kids. Like, I'm sorry, everybody. I warned you. But, yeah. Okay. So this is effed up. After killing his victims, and some of them were dying and suffering for hours before actually passing away. After death, Gacy would usually store the victims. This is going to make me fucking sick. He would store the victims under his bed for up to 24 hours before burying the victim in a crawl space in his home. He would purposely, like, pour chemical agents or something to hasten the decomposition of the bodies. But again, like, this is all in a crawl space. So he's decomposing the bodies, but, like, some of these bodies would stay there. Some of them were taken to a garage or then buried elsewhere. But some bodies were recovered in that crawl space in his home, which I believe was, like, right outside the front door. So that in and of itself is, like, some fucked up, like, revisiting the corpse type thing to me. Like, every time you walk through your front door, really? Okay. What sort of was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back in the investigation here? Like I said, a lot of these boys, these victims were, you know, runaways or, you know, kids that were sort of off the beaten path that, you know, people weren't really expecting that this might be out of the normal for them to be missing or things like that. What ended up happening was Gacy went after a kid who was not a runaway. He was a 15-year-old boy. I think the kid might have been at work, and let's say he got off of work at 9. It ended up happening that within, like, an hour or so, he's at Gacy's home, and all this, you know, this sexual assault and eventually murder starts ensuing. This kid was not someone that no one was looking for. His mom went to pick him up at work, and he wasn't there. So of course, you know, this is made known to law enforcement and all of this stuff. I think the way that they connected Gacy to this is that he was working as a contractor at the pharmacy where this boy either was working or was visiting. I didn't quite get to all the research on this one. But they were able to connect him by a mutual location, put Gacy on the map. And after that finding, shit exploded. Police went to his home. He did admit to seeing two young boys working at the pharmacy, and, you know, claimed he asked a couple of them, like, hey, you know, I'm here for a job. Do you know if any of the materials I need are behind the store, the whole bit? And, you know, denied any additional involvement. Yeah. So it's like, okay, buddy, like, we already know what's happening here. So
yeah, you just told on yourself, essentially.
Right. Exactly. So the police were fortunately privy to that suspicion, and they suspected that he might be either holding the boy against his will or, you know, hopefully not worse, but that was the suspicion. So with enough information to get a warrant, they were able to search his property. And we are now we're now in December of, what is it? I think it's 1978. So the police are able to get the warrant and they find all this suspicious shit. They find, I read police badges. I don't know if any of this was like fabricated or anything like that. They found pistols. They found syringes, evidence that he used chloroform on some of his victims.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Handcuffs, books on homosexuality, pornographic films by the dozen. Oh God, this is going to send you to hell and back. An 18-inch dildo.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
A 39-inch 2x4. With two holes drilled into each end, which, Christ no. Almighty, I don't even know what I'm gonna know. No. Okay. Bottles of multiple drugs, Valium, etc. Different driver's license, like all this shit. They also found photo receipts, nylon ropes and bindings, things like that. So they find all this evidence, and again, like, nothing, none of these cases or these missing boys or all that stuff has been, like, put together, any of that. So after all this is found, police start their surveillance on him. They did take his car, they confiscated his car, and they had two surveillance teams monitoring him. I guess at that point they didn't have enough to, like, take him in for a specific crime, because they didn't find evidence of that specific boy they were looking for.
But he was shady enough to, like, watch.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they had him on surveillance, and the pinnacle here is within a few days of, you know, him being surveilled and all this stuff, there's a battery charge that comes to light, and this complainant reported that Gacy had lured him into his car, chloroformed him, and then repeatedly raped and tortured him before dumping him with severe bodily and facial burns and rectal bleeding in a park the following morning. Sort of like, he was privy to it, like, he knew they were tailing him, and he'd, you know, sort of play, like, the nice guy shit, like, oh, do you guys want to come in for a drink? Like, the whole bit, like, it was almost like he really thought he was, like, untouchable. Completely untouchable. But they found more human evidence that somehow tied Gacy to the DNA of that boy who went missing from his job at the pharmacy. So after that time, that's when it pretty much just sort of, he sort of started to, like, unravel. His appearance changed. He was totally anxious. He was, like, drinking all the time, the whole bit, and, like, totally deteriorating. Like, you could totally tell. So based off of whatever evidence the police had from the issues prior to that, they had a second warrant, and this, coupled with the deterioration of his mental state, he started to be a little bit more cooperative. So I think it was, like, an informant, like, possibly a prior employee or someone that, like, he did a job for or with, admitted that at one point Gacy took him into his home, and this is, like, so effed. He had this person, Gacy had this person actually pour, like, go into the basement and the crawl space and pour this, like, chemical decomposing agent down there. And the guy was like, I can smell this. Like, I know what the fuck you're doing. Like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
So this person, provided that information to the police. And then that's when they got the second warrant for his house. Ew, this is so effed. So they look in the house. And this is when they find out. Multiple bodies were recovered.
What happened to him? Like, did he get time in prison?
Oh, yeah. So after all this information was found out by the police, and they found the human remains in the crawl space and all that stuff, he certainly faced murder charges.
Obviously.
So in doing so, he gave a formal statement, and he admitted to murdering approximately 30 young males. He claims all of whom entered his house willingly. Okay, no.
He kidnapped, like, for
sure. For sure. And then he claimed all were runaways or male prostitutes. Also not true. And
they were actual children.
Exactly. And he said the majority of whom, he buried in the crawl space. That was it. And you know, the case that sort of caught him, where he sort of lost his MO and overstepped, he did admit to kidnapping, luring him into his house, and strangling the 15-year-old boy that worked at the pharmacy. This is, like, so effed up. Trigger warning, turn this off right now if you don't want to hear this. But he admitted to sleeping alongside the 15-year-old boy's dead body before disposing of his corpse in a river early the next morning.
Wow.
He did tell authorities where all the other victims were buried or disposed of, so to speak. He was brought to justice. He went to trial in February of 1980, where he was charged with 33 murders. He did try to claim that he did suffer from multiple personality disorder. And I think this is when they had him evaluated. I think this is sort of when that notion may have been thrown out, because they felt like there were witnesses to support that there was premeditation to some of the crimes, or at least all of the crimes. One of the boys that got away and survived described the attack as animalistic in the way that Gacy attacked him.
Wow.
So the jury did deliberate for more than 2 hours, which, like, for me, this is like slam dunk defunk. Like, this is easy for me.
It's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's it, baby. Like, we've got 30 some odd dead bodies in your crawl space, honey.
A witness who threw up on this stand. Right. Like, I'm sorry. What?
And your own confession. Like, ain't no 2 hours, baby. That's a 2 second.
Yeah, no.
That's a
totally
one and done for me. He was convicted, and capital punishment was on the table. He was incarcerated on death row for 14 years. During that time, there were multiple books written, and one was called, like, Killer Clown or something. One of his victims who did survive, this is someone that he did brief contracting work with. Like, he hired this kid to work with him. Oh my God. And this boy, like, he was a runaway. He had nowhere to go. So while he was working with Gacy, he lived with him. And he said he came home one day, holy shit, and there, sprawled out on the sofa, is Patches the Clown. And all Patches is saying is, I want to rape you.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. So Patches was able to handcuff him, but fortunately, the victim was able to fight back and made it back to his room and was able to get the handcuffs off. But because he had nowhere else to go, he ended up staying in the house for, and I can't remember what the time frame was. But can you imagine that, like, your life...
That really makes me think he had multiple personalities.
It's also, like, you know, the kids that he was picking, like, you're talking about kids, so it's already impressionable. And then some of these victims were kids who had nowhere else to go. So it's like, if Patches the Clown saying, I want to rape you, is literally the best you can do at that time, like, I can't even imagine what these poor kids were going through.
Yeah.
Insane. I'm sorry, like, Patches, no. There was so much, like, back and forth. Like, again, like, he tried to file multiple appeals and the whole bit. He didn't prevail in any of them. None of his appeals were successful, the whole nine yard. The Supreme Court of Illinois did uphold his conviction in, I think it was like the mid-80s, and his execution by lethal injection was ordered for November 14th of 1984. Again, he filed appeals, blah, 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 and that went to the Supreme Court of the United States March of 1985. He continued to file appeals and petitions and the whole bit. So he continued to file all these appeals. And the Supreme Court of, I think it was Illinois, formally set his execution date for May 10th of 1994. So, I mean, like, this has gone on for a while.
Yeah, like years.
Years and years. Ew, I don't even want to I don't even want to do this to KFC. But one of his requests for his final meal, sorry KFC, please don't take this personally. He ordered a bucket of KFC, a dozen fried shrimp, French fries, fresh strawberries to keep it healthy, and in keeping tune with that, a Diet Coke.
So the whole menu except the strawberries.
Just imagine that. And a quick prayer with a Catholic priest, because he was raised Catholic, which none of this, I was raised Catholic and we don't do this shit. I'm just gonna say this. We don't do this shit. After his prayer, he was escorted to the execution chamber to receive a lethal injection. Of course, people like this just can't go down without a fight. There was clogging of the IV tubes to administer the lethal injection. Like, there's a whole nine yards. They had to
Of
like
course, of
replace and
course.
unclog the tubes, the whole bit. But he was cremated. I don't know what they do with the cremated remains of people who were put to death on death row, but he was cremated. Can't say I'm sad to see him go. So 1994, I was 4 years old. I was about to turn four if it was May. Kim, you weren't alive yet? Or you?
I was 3 months
You were
old.
three
I was
months
born
old.
March
I thought so. I
94.
was gonna say, okay, you're 94. All right.
I
Yeah,
was born March 94, yeah.
so yeah, this is happening. I was just shy of 4 years old. I
Baby
can't
Ben.
say that he didn't deserve the 18 minutes of IV clogging of the lethal injection. But that's where his story ends. Kim, what stuck out to you? What was twisty
It's
turny?
honestly, it's the 2 hour deliberation for me. No.
Like, is that not a slam dunk defunct? Like, come on.
I'm not understanding how, after hearing all of these things and his own testimonials, how like they didn't know that he was guilty. But it's also like, again, the mind games. Like I said in the last podcast, it's like the mind games as well. Like the I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna save you. Like, oh my God. And you're right, like the when is this gonna end? And the fact that these were children, you know, like they were all, I don't know if I remember correctly, but you were saying it was they were all like 16 and under. Like, that's so young to like go through something like that. You think about running away as like a dumb preteen, like I'm just gonna run away, you know, and then something bad like that happens to you. Like, you don't deserve that. You deserve better.
And there was one report that one of the victims like ran away from home and called his family and was like, "Hey, like I wanted to let you know I'm safe. I ran away. I'm in Chicago and I'm safe." And that's where Gacy was from. And after that phone call, they never heard from him again. And he was later discovered to be one of their victims. And it's just the fate there just crushes me, you know?
Wow, those
Really
poor
crushes
kids and
me.
the poor families of those poor kids and their poor families, you know, never
Right?
getting that closure until it's like too late.
I
I
know.
just, I don't know.
I know. I don't know where I'm gonna put it, but I'm gonna put a picture of Pogo or Patches, whatever you want to call it. I'm gonna put it somewhere. I don't know where. It's fucking horrifying. I'll probably put it on my Instagram somewhere. I don't even want to flood my feed with this shit. I'll put it. There's a story on my Instagram at It's Eliza Beauty. There's a story on there about the Down and 30 podcast. I'm gonna put Pogo slash Patches in there. Like, if this is not the shit of nightmares, like, what in the fucking Ronald McDonald on crack? Like,
I kind of want to see it though. Like, I don't want to see it, but I
Oh,
want to see it. But I might like wait.
I'm gonna share my
I might wait
screen
till the
with you right
morning.
now. No, I'm sharing my
Oh my
screen.
God, why are you gonna ruin this?
All
Okay.
right.
I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared.
All right, do you see my screen?
I'm scared. No.
Look at Pogo slash
Oh.
Patches.
No.
I know. I know.
First of
Like,
all, that's scary without him saying that he wants to kill me. Like,
right? Like the smile, the little like, so picture you come home and that sprawled out on the sofa saying, "I want to rape you." I would
No.
KILL.
I'd be out. Like, it just, no, what? No. No words.
No.
On site. It's on site for me. Like, on site.
And, like, this little three-way picture from the Chicago Tribune, it's, like, him in his suit and tie, him as Patches, and then the mugshot, like, smiling distantly, like, no. No.
You know, honestly, it creeps me out that he's, like, so stern-faced with, like, the suit and everything, but then, like, in the mugshot, he's, like, grinning and smiling like it's nothing.
I'm so disturbed by Pogo. I don't know which I hate more, Pogo or Patches. I'm very... Ew. Sorry, we're spiraling. You guys can't see this, but I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna put something on my... I'll put a picture of Pogo / Patches / Gacy on the feed. You guys can check out the story on my Instagram for Down and 30, and spiral into hell and back with us. All right, but that's Gacy. Honestly, that was a little torturous. I'm on, like, my sixth glass of red wine, and, like, I just need to splash more because I'm not going to be able to get that painted face out of my mind's eye for the next 4 to 6 weeks. How about you, Kim?
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I'm just never going to be able to forget that face.
No, clowns are ruined forever. I used to not be afraid of clowns. And I don't think I'm afraid of them, but just, I'll never look at a clown the same. I'm sorry, after, like, 2016 clown incident, then it, and then now this, like, I can't trust a clown.
Like, well, the clown potential is astronomical. It really is.
The clown emoji is gonna, like, hit different.
And, like I said, like, you know, I am the CEO of clown jokes, but, like, This hit hard for me. This really did. This changed the Ronald McDonald game for me.
Ronald McDonald himself was, like, the clown was, like, creepy, so...
Pennywise could never. Alright, you guys, so if you have made it this far, we are so grateful.
Thank you.
To have you here. I am so sorry for some of the trauma that we've put you through. I'm sorry to Kim, who has not heard this story before.
Again, another sleepless night, but that's
yes, a sleepless night at the benefit of my podcast, so thank you. I didn't do too much research officially on this one. This is just one that, like I said, I've known about since I was, like, a teenager in college. But yeah, that was a heavy one. I'm sorry to everyone. And
it was definitely dark.
It was dark. And I thank you for sticking with us. And I hope that you will join us for the next episode. Who knows? At this point, Kim might be here. Kim might say, to hell with you. I'm sick of your shit and I need to get some sleep. And that's okay.
I
want to
actually sleep through the night for once.
But Down in 30, we'll be back. And whoever decides to join us, who knows? Maybe it'll just be my loud mouth. But I'm super grateful for you guys tuning in. Always grateful for Kim indulging us in this vendetta. So thanks, guys. And we love to keep it spooky. We love to keep it real. And prayers up to all the victims. And to Pogo, I hope you rot in hell, bitch.
And that's on period.
All right, y'all. Love you so much.
Bye, guys.
I will catch you guys next time. I'm gonna take a break next week. We've got something big planned for the last Thursday of October. I'm gonna have a special episode. Stay tuned. It's a little bit of a personal anecdote. And I can't wait to have you guys back when it's time to get down and 30.